Welcome to Building Great Leaders with Dr. Les Olala.
Now, how does this unity work? Through the unction of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit that is manifested.
On today's program, Dr. Olala teaches the final part of a two-part series from Scripture about overcoming hindrances. This message was recorded at a staff orientation in 2015. Building Great Leaders provides instruction, encouragement, and resources for Christian leaders. You can learn more at bgleaders.org, bgleaders.org. Our speaker, Dr. Les Olala, is the founder and director of Building Great Leaders and has been serving the Lord in full-time ministry for 50 years as a pastor, Bible college president, and evangelist. And now, Overcoming Hindrances, Part 2.
Interesting that those who cry liberty the loudest many times manifest love the least, because what they'll do is magnify the fact I'm free, but they will not take the arch of love over that long line of liberty. What is instructed in 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 1, knowledge puffs up. Knowledge that I am free by grace will puff me up and make me self-centered, but love edifies. And so Paul demonstrated how he lived. That is a very crucial fact as we think. What are obstacles? Were there sins? First of all, we see rank sins. This is how I laid these out. Verse 19. I'll put verse 17 and 18 in the context here. For flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. So Paul is saying we're at liberty, but we're not liberty. We have no liberty to be carnal. And we are never at liberty to be in conflict. Verse 14, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, love your neighbor as yourself. We see again that order. There's the order to love. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. So what is Paul saying here? Love has to be that controlling virtue in your ministry as you attempt to labor together. So what are the rank sins? Verse 19. Works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. These kind of sins generally do not stop a ministry. In fact, when you find somebody who has been in adultery, you find someone who is the church normally, the issue is brought one-on-one, then two go to that individual, and then that individual is brought before the church for the purpose of restoration. Who is strong? Let him be the ones who would restore those who are weak. So normally what that does is everybody says, "Who, boy, that could be me. But by the grace of God, there go I." So these adultery and fornication and these things and people who are caught in porn and that sort of thing, that say, okay, boy, I need to be encircled here. I need help. And accountability is, you know, you can lie to your accountability partner. Your accountability is unto him. It's good to have fellowship and prayer together. But if you say, I'm going to check with you every Monday, how'd it go? Oh, tremendous. But if your mind was uncapped, it'd be a whole garbage dump that's in there. But not with him. You see, in one of the sessions I think I'm going to do is, how do we deal with temptations? How do you deal with that? As you're in the middle of warfare, all of a sudden a trap is put there. How are you going to deal with that? That sort of thing. But normally that does not... People get aware and they say, "Ooh, boy, I better be careful myself." That normally doesn't hinder the forward movement of a work. And then there is religious sins. That's idolatry and witchcraft. Idolatry, where God is displaced by idols. And I've been reading through Old Testament. I just finished Isaiah. I'm now into the first nine chapters of Jeremiah. Over and over and over and over and over again, God hates idolatry. He hates being displaced. He is a jealous God. Idolatry and witchcraft. These are religious sins. Rebellion is the sin of witchcraft. Now, you say, well, these are not as visible. These can go on underground for a long time. So that's these are not popping up normally. But now, thirdly, there are relationship sins. These are the sins that I call the high blood pressure, the cholesterol buildup sins. They're not visible, but suddenly there's a seizure. They say, wow, I didn't see that coming. He had a stroke? Yeah, they say there had a heart attack. Yeah, they say 90% blockage. But it's gradual buildup. Not seen, gradual buildup. Suddenly seizure. And this is what I call these relationship sins that cause so much pressure. There are two kinds of bitterness in the scriptures. One, I think, is circumstantial bitterness. And that would be like a Job struggle that Job had, although he never turned bitter. He questioned God. Naomi, very clearly in Ruth chapter 1, turned bitter. And she said, don't call me Naomi, call me Mara, for God has dealt very bitterly. So you have circumstantial, and the other form of bitterness is relational sins. Two very key passages that indicate these relationship sins that come in. And one would be number 16 with Korah. Where Korah, discontent with his placement. And I'd encourage you to study Numbers chapter 16. If I ever do sessions somewhere with a corporate structure or with a ministry structure on loyalty, I use Numbers chapter 16 because Korah started out as a solo griper, a soloist. He picked up 250 on his side. So they were quality people. These were all leaders. They become quarrelsome. And they ended up to be a quantity. 250 joined Korah's choir after he started singing that solo. What did he take on? Took on the leader. That was God placed Moses. Took on the Levite. That was the anointed one, Aaron. And took on the Lord. So there was the attack on authority. There was the attack on the anointed one, Aaron. And then verse 11. They rebelled directly against the Lord when God says, I want you to show up. And Moses goes to Korah and says, Korah, are you not satisfied that God put you to do the service of the house of the Lord? Do you seek the priesthood also? So what was the basis of Korah's griping? He was discontent with the function that he had. And God says, okay, bring the rod, Aaron, bring Aaron's rod, bring this, and we'll see which rod buds. And then the Lord says, they took me on, back away, and the earth opened up. Relationship, bitterness. Another one would be Shimei. If you want two case studies of relational bitterness, and Shimei would be found in 2 Samuel 16, and there was a broad history to this whole thing of how he tied in with Ziba, who was Mephibosheth's servant. And Ziba was a smoozer, and smoozed the king and brought him all these gifts. And kings were told, when you become a king in Deuteronomy chapter 16 and verse 9, do not accept gifts because gifts will pervert your wisdom. And what Ziba did is he fed this up. And then here comes Shimei, and study this in 2 Samuel 16. Shimei comes on. He is casting stones at King David. because he was of the house of Saul. And he was cursing the king. One thing bitterness does not exercise common sense. Because where was he doing this? In the presence of David's mighty men. I mean, these guys wiped out Philistines on the way home from work just for aerobics. And here is one of David's mighty men. So let me take that dead dog's head off. David said, no. God's teaching me something here. But then he called Solomon and said, Solomon, watch Shimei. And don't let him go to his grave in peace. You know what Shimei's bitterness did? It restricted him to a little plot of land in Jerusalem. And for 3 years, he never moved. And because the instruction, if you cross that river, you're dead. One of his servants escaped. He went and found him. And Solomon says, where did you go? Well, I found my servant. He said, go put your house in order. You're done. Bitterness is very restrictive. It's very limiting. And the soul of that individual gets totally bound up and study. If you want to do counseling and you want two biblical case studies of relational bitterness, these two would be very excellent to look at. Because relationship sins are what Satan uses to pull the power plug. It's the relationship sins that will pull the power plug on ministries. It doesn't matter if Harvest Ministries builds more big buildings. Satan doesn't mind that. He doesn't mind if I hire more staff. He doesn't mind that. What he does mind is if that staff is in unity. Because he knows the oneness that is demanded. The oneness in one accord of one mind all through the book of Acts and the power of God on that early church. When that oneness is gone, the power is gone. And you end up just with a function. You go back to corporate function. When somebody comes into church or somebody comes in, are they seeing what God is like? The true reflectors of God. And so when we look at this, it's relationships that are the key. And the relationship sins that are listed in Galatians are devastating to the work of God. Because we're giving the advantage to Satan. And I'll tell you what, it is the toughest thing to maintain. Because every one of us are born full of self every morning. We wake up full of self, and there has to come a new surrender. Lord, who can I serve today? To whom can I be a blessing? So what are these relationships? Well, number one, hatred. That's the word ektra. It nurtures a hostile attitude towards someone else. That's a relationship sin. Variance. What is variance? It's strife. It's a quarrelsomeness. It's an animosity. The same word that's used in Cain's animosity towards Abel. That mentality of variance. Emulations. That's zealous. Jealousy. A search for significance. Always have to be better than my rival. And narcissism really has no place in the work of the ministry. Because these relationships and these emulations that come. And some, when we examine these closely, as when we examine 1 Corinthians 13 verbal descriptions of love, it's very, very convicting. But if we live with it, we're powerless. So we're going into warfare. My grandson, when he was going through his basic training and then the advanced training in medical and then into the officer's training, he said, as soon as I'd hear certain words, I'd go and open the closet, I'd get the bucket, I'd get water, I'd get the mop, because I knew blood was going to be flying. And he said, but the sad thing is, sometimes Christianity looks that way. Fist fighting in the barrack. And there's a real enemy coming over the hill. And we're mopping up blood. Mopping up blood. From punching a brother in the nose. Instead of in humility getting on our face before God and asking forgiveness and say, this is sin. And boy, you have had to as I have had to. And every time when I go somewhere and I deal with things, it seems like God tests me in those very things. And I have to say, oh God, that pride has to be devastated. Because those relationships cannot be broken. Because if we're going to see the power of God, if we're going to see the hand of God work, these things cannot be so. Wrath. Now that's thumos. There's things kind of bubbling underneath. And then the wrath is where it now begins to bubble. Remember, before the days of TV, the most exciting thing happened would be the annual church business meeting. Farmer Jake was waiting for his chance. Any discussion? I do. And the kids are saying, yes, yes. Pastor, I'll tell you what, you're getting paid too much. I remember Pastor Rhodes would stand there during these annual business meetings, and Pastor Rhodes would go back. I was the assistant. He'd say, I don't care what you do or say, you will never stop me from loving you. And these people didn't know, well, I'll tell you what, you will never stop me from loving you. And I thought to myself, get up there and poke them. But Pastor Rhodes set a model for me, I'll tell you. Because as a Logger Youper hockey player, God had to break all that pride in me. Not that I'm saying it's errorist. More of a dot in a continuous line that has to be dealt with all the time. When you get down on your knees and say, God, first of all, you know this. And God, you know I have to go in grace to that person and acknowledge the carnality that is involved in that. And pew! But it's better if something's bubbling that it thumos is than it stays under. And you can smell it, but you can't touch it. Strife. It's factions, rivalry, party spirits, a Diotrephes mentality. And Diotrephes was bound and determined to be totally in control. You know, a good test of, I remember we were in a meeting in Waterloo, Ontario, Canada. And Thursday night, I was getting ready to preach. I didn't know where the pastor. I was waiting for the pastor to come and make announcements. And I think Vernon was there. But I said, "Do you know where the pastor is?" They said, "Well, we don't know. They said he went to the prayer room, but somebody went in there and he's not there." And then somebody said, "Well, he took about 25 or 30 people with him. They're going to visit a former deacon." Spirit of God had so deeply convicted. The church had split. Pastor said, I had a right position. He said, but I had a wrong disposition. And they went and picked up a dozen of red roses. They were, while the evening service was going on that Thursday night, they were over at that former deacon's house asking forgiveness. Presenting him with a dozen red roses. The pastor wrote his whole testimony up. And we came back. Well, the next day, this man called the church and wanted me to come to talk to him. So I got over to the house and I went in expecting that I was going to meet a broken man. I got in and he said, glad to hear that preacher got straightened out over there. He said, you know what he was going to do when we were building that building? He was going to put the waterproofing in the wrong place. I said, does the building leak as far as you know? I said, so what's the big deal? And I said, I just read in the scriptures this morning about you. I was reading through Solomon, you know, when Solomon was becoming king, and he said, God, whatever you want me to have, God said, you take what you want. And he said, all I want is wisdom. I didn't know how to go out or come in. All I want is wisdom. God said, because you didn't ask for riches and long life and the life of your enemy, I'm going to give you all those too. But then his wisdom is tested. These two women came, and I was telling this man this story. These two women came, and one baby was dead. And this one said, this woman rolled over and killed my baby. And the other said, no, this is my child. And Solomon says, no problem, bring me on. I'll get a big knife and we'll cut the baby in half. You can each go home with a half. And the real mother said, no, no, no. I'd rather have my baby alive in her arms than dead. The guilty person says, to prove my point, let her blow. Let the baby be cut in half. I will prove my point. And I said, sir, you're that guilty mother. And that went over like a organ at Northland. But the point of the matter is, we have to deal with us. If we are going to see strife, seditions, this is dichotomy. It's a standing apart. Romans 16, verse 17, mark those who cause divisions. Mark them. And then heresies. Heretic is not one who says, I'm going to promote false doctrine. He creates a cause, draws a line, and demands a following. And Paul said it's necessary that heresies come, for those who are of the truth might be made known. And as we look at these aspects and at these elements, we see envyings. And I would encourage you before God to get on your knees as you're reading and say, God, let me examine every one of these, that none of this springs up in my heart. And you look at the malicious, spiteful spirit. So what's the objectives to fellowship? Number one, God's glory and others' good. Doxological and soteriological. Doxology, that God, my God is made to look big. And soteriologically, that others may be touched and others may be reached and others may be won. And then we close the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, temperance. Now we go from function, which is a union, to fellowship, which is a unity. Now, how does this unity work? Through the unction of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit that is manifested. This is my checklist. And believe you me, I go through it regularly. Because the testings that come, it's easy for me to be up here talking, but the test comes. How do I react when situations come? And I have to go back and say, God, is it love I'm lacking? And sometimes love is confronting. Doesn't mean you love, you just lay down. But sometimes a person needs joy and peace. How is our joy and peace affected? These are all fruit that grows out of perfect love. That's our God relationship. Love, joy, and peace. Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. That's my others' relationship. That's how I relate to others. And then faithfulness, meekness, temperance. That is my self-relationship. All of my relationships are controlled by the fruit of the Spirit. And I think this is probably sometimes one of the hardest sessions I do with any staff, with any, for myself, for any church staff, for any ministry staff. I will be, when I get home from here, my wife and I'll go to Phoenix. I'll do in-service for International Bible College. This is one of the sessions I always do. Because if our power plug is pulled through broken relationships, we are just simply a corporation showing up for work. You say, Lord, let my heart be tender and sensitive. So when I see those young people coming in, when I see those kids in my class, when I see those visitors coming into church, they need to see a model of what our God is like. And may we have a passion to be true reflectors of the nature and the character of God. And whenever you go somewhere, some say, oh, I know Dr. Heron got a hold of the lesson. He's talked. We have not had time to talk. He, besides that, he couldn't hear if I did talk. I don't operate that way. These are life principles. And they're universally true because we have a same enemy to our cause. If we had no enemy, no biggie. We'd just go and have our corporate parties and have our corporate functions and have go on and go our way and do our thing. That's not what we are about. And let's let our hearts truly reflect the genuine love and the genuine fruit and obey the orders that God has given to us.
Dr. Les Olala, preaching part two of a series called Overcoming Hindrances. This program is a ministry of Building Great Leaders, providing instruction, encouragement, and resources for Christian leaders, and is produced by Harvest Ministries on Guam. You can learn more at bgleaders.org, bgleaders.org. Join us again for more teaching from the Word of God next time on Building Great Leaders. Mm-hmm.